You know, Fuzz, I'm really tired of politics. Let's try to give it a break, okay?
Okay, sure.
Those motherfuckers!
Give mind to the things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 347. I'm mad, therefore I must scream. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf. I'm not a fennec, but I will scream in solidarity.
Yes, you can help me by just going forever.
Yeah.
You know, two fennecs screaming at each other. They scream until they get tired, take a nap, and just start screaming again. We've determined this on Twitter.
And we'll just keep doing that until 2020.
Yep. And let's hope we're all alive by then. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it has been a couple weeks since we last recorded. And those motherfuckers. Like, if only today had been May 4th, where I could just be like, God, can you stop it with the Star Wars memes? But no.
Mm-hmm.
No. It had to be a day of anger. Of angry Phoenix. Going on the internet. Because, holy shit, these fuckers in our government.
Yep.
I saw this really great retweet that I made. I put in this pattern for this mega guillotine. It's 15 Congress critters at a time. Really solve some problems.
Mm.
You know? The 217 is a lot better than 20 million. Anyways, yeah. There's my seditious talk for the week.
Mm, seditious.
So, unfortunately, Shiva is not here again. We promise she's still alive. If you've seen her tweet, I'm pretty sure she's still tweeted some. Her recent health scare is really put on her back foot, and that's bad because she has, like, six limbs. And so...
Her back foots.
Yes, her back paws. Her hind paws. There we go.
Yeah.
And so, like, she's got some medical shit that's still... causing issues for her. So hopefully she'll be able to join us next week.
That's the plan.
That's the plan, at least. But, I mean, Shiva's hell has to come first, pretty much. And we certainly hope she gets feeling better soon, because shit's not fun.
No.
After spending a few days in the hospital, she's still dealing with shit, so... Ugh.
Ugh.
Indeed.
Ugh.
Yeah, I did go see her while she was in, and she was just like, God damn, I'm tired of this food. Actually, I snuck in and brought outside food for him.
brought you some weed brownies.
Oh, no.
They may or may not interfere with, like, all the shit they're pumping into you.
But you won't care.
I'm going to replace your saline solution with THC oil and see if you notice the difference. And of course, it goes right into your veins. That would probably be lethal.
Yeah. I don't think you want to inject a whole marijuana, let alone four.
Yeah. Man, that dude injected a whole marijuana.
Now he's dead.
From the marijuana? No, from the severe munchies. He ate so much he exploded.
Oh, man. We,
Saverin's entire peep collection just gone.
Oh, no. You know, I actually didn't end up buying that many peeps past Easter this year. Like, I bought some, but only a couple packages, because nobody really had the weird flavor varieties.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like... last couple years, they're like, oh, they've got the lemonade and the watermelon and this, that, and the other. And this year is just like, there's pink and purple and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their delights, which
you
are like...
You could mash them together and make a Starbucks unicorn frappuccino peep.
Those were disappointing.
I never tried one. I heard it had a lot of sugar.
They were a lot of sugar and were kind of... It was really hard to describe. Like... sour mango? It was like a Slurpee, except $6.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to pay extra because I had to get it made with coconut milk. Mm-hmm. And, right. Yeah, I was like, well, I have consumed the meme drink.
Mm-hmm.
I will resume not going to Starbucks. Though the Target next, right down the street here, they converted their little Target cafe and it's going to be a Starbucks ass Starbucks.
Oh, a proper Starbucks.
Yeah, not like the...
We proudly serve Starbucks.
Yeah, but it's a Starbucks-ass Starbucks, complete with signage that says Starbucks, and the sign that says Starbucks. So, Panther won't like going there, because they'll be able to smell the coffee in there.
Mm. Presumably, you'd be able to do that now, if they have a cafe already.
Yeah, but they didn't have coffee drinks or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
It was just like, get your pizza and popcorn and sodas.
That's right, I remembered her little cafe.
I mean, I used to... Back when I worked at Petco many, many years ago, there was a little Target right in the same shopping center that I would go down to and buy lunch occasionally and maybe buy a magazine or something.
Mm.
Or,
and that would be your week's pay.
Yep. All the shit you endure, sacrificed to have a hot dog and a titty magazine.
Mm.
Not actually a titty magazine.
Mouse pad.
No, I was buying workout mags and shit like that and other such stereotypically manly man bullshit.
You're like, yeah, like what, looking at these shirtless oiled men.
Oh, it just makes me want to lift weights and not appreciate them at all in a sexual manner.
And by lift weights, I mean fondle their balls. These are really heavy.
And some of the fucking... There's this one is carnivore or whatever, and it's beef protein powder... meat-based protein powder, and it had this, crazy ripped black dude with a topknot braid stalking through the tall grass of the savannah, and I'm like, shit. Get some of that. Turn into him. All right, that's cool.
I'm like, does it taste like fucking barbecue Doritos?
Oh, fuck if I know. It's like, you make it with milk, and it turns your milk into barbecue sauce. It's a barbecue sauce milkshake. But no, that Target's gone now, and they're gonna build something else there. But I don't work at Petco anymore, thank God.
Mm. Oh, so that was the one over on Trinity and Josie.
Yeah. They're gonna be putting a Winco in there, but the topsoil was apparently ultra contaminated, so the site had to be double excavated down and shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right. So I heard you mention Winco, but I'm not familiar with them.
So Winco is a food co-op that is owned by the employees.
Ah, okay.
So it is a national scale food cooperative that is owned by the employees. It's not a shareholder thing. It's not like a CEO is there. Apparently the food prices are real good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're based out of the Northwest, Pacific Northwest.
Mm.
Which is good. I mean... Lower cost food options with a company that doesn't exploit its workers is good.
Mm-hmm.
The means of production.
Would you say that the workers have seized the means of production?
Yes, the means of production should belong to the employees.
Nice.
And, it's like that fucking Christ, that quote from that piece of shit investment guy. Oh, labor's getting paid first and not the shareholders. I'm like, motherfucker, that's how it's supposed to go. So you've discovered some issues with late-stage capitalism. Oh, fuck.
These motherfuckers. So do you want to put the motherfucker conversation on hold? And let's talk about something fun instead.
All right, let's talk about HavenCon.
That's what I was going to say. So the reason we didn't do a show last week was we went down to HavenCon.
In Austin, Texas. Yeehaw!
Damn it. I've been doing this too long. Right?
So.
Oh, that was one of the jokes we were discussing on the way down there. So we were using my iPhone, which I have Siri set to the Australian woman voice mode. And or is it British woman?
British.
No, mine's British woman.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Ajax has Australian man. Is his.
And you have British woman.
Mine's British woman. And Saren found this amusing. And then we were talking about they could make another version that was American Southern. And he would just interject yeehaw occasionally between steps. And y'all arrived at your destination. Yeehaw!
All right, now go yonder about four, past the water tower there. Take a right and then go a little bit further down past that big old church. Next to the Arby's, eat fresh, and then you go there, and your destination's on your right. Yeehaw!
Then you're gonna go not a long way, kind of a short way.
Pretty far. You don't want to walk it. Yeah.
Y'all, it gonna take you a while, man. Traffic out there's a bitch.
Slay.
Thank you for that really specific ETA, Siri. I got you covered.
Hope you got some trucking songs.
That's all Siri can play in that mode.
There's like six tapes of trucking songs.
Yes.
18 Wheels of Steel.
Oh, I'll probably be joining you for that show, by the way.
Oh, cool. Good.
So, yeah. It's like my other plan. It's like it's an obligation, but it's not like a super obligation. So, you know.
It's like they haven't come to Texas ever, dude. I have tickets. We should go.
Yeah, yeah. And I bought the tickets before I knew about the other thing.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to be listening, going to the last podcast, hopefully all together, on the 14th.
Yes.
That will be cool. Last podcast on the motherfucking left.
Yes.
Woo. The one thing that I support on Patreon right now is last podcast. Oh, I should get my sticker soon, hopefully. I have their $10 a month thing.
Uh-huh.
And so I should be getting a sticker now that I've been a patron for like 2 months.
Nice.
I might kick it up to like 25 one month just so I get the shirt.
They'll have shirts there you can buy probably.
Oh, I know. They'll probably have merch and whatnot, and it'll be interesting because I've never been to a live podcast show.
Oh, I have.
I mean, we've done live podcast shows, but never actually paid money to go see a live podcast show.
Yeah, it's...
Didn't you go see Nightville or something like that?
No, Zap and I went to see Smodcast.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and they also had Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and then at the end, like, they all came out, so it was like a fucking four-hour night altogether. Shit. And like the tickets were like $20, so yeah. It was like a really good
that
deal.
Was a good deal.
Yeah,
and well, I mean the tickets for this were only $20, so
yeah,
not too bad. Like $20 with a $5 service fee per ticket.
Yeah,
whatever. Still, it's good shit, and I've listened to a couple hundred episodes of theirs, so I've gotten my money's worth.
I did I caught up on a couple. Well, like. We listened to a couple, and then I listened to a couple more at home. But like the female serial killer drifter,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Eileen Wuornos.
Yeah, we listened to that.
And the addition of the gal doing the reading the letters was
as Henry's sister, I think. Yeah. Oh man, she's actually a really good actress because like I was feeling it, you know. It was a good performance.
She really she can do female drifter killer real well.
Yeah, yeah. Mm,
better watch out.
I hope she doesn't get typecast.
Yeah.
As just female drifter killer.
It's a female drifter killer, not a female drifter killer. Know the difference. It'll save your life.
Right, yes, very true. Although I'm pretty sure there are female drifter killers.
Yeah. So but yeah, HavenCon.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to HavenCon yet. So, you know, we killed a couple of drifters on the way down there.
You know, as you do.
As you do.
I have to say, though, that we left their bodies at a really nice roadside truck stop just south of Waxahachie.
Yeah. We left them at the Buc-ee's. Stuffed them into a beaver fursuit. No one can tell the difference.
Yep. Yeah, thankfully there is a single Buc-ee's between here. Actually, no, there's...
There's two.
There's a couple Buc-ee's between here and San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
So a couple years that I did make trips down there,
yeah.
Like, we'd be like, okay, there's the Buc-ee's, time to stop. Oh, there's the other Buc-ee's, time to stop.
Yeah, it'd been a long time since I'd been in one, and I didn't realize that it was basically, like, a whole supermarket.
Yeah.
But it's, like, exceptionally clean and well-maintained, you know, and the butler comes out and hands you the raw silk toilet paper before you go into the restroom. And
very important.
Yes.
They had to make him wear he's in this the nice suit, but he has the beaver fursuit head on. So weird.
All the employees have a beaver fursuit. That's why it's like the minimum wage is like $12 an hour. Because
you got to fucking put up with that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it'll be hard to breathe, but you'll have money to pay for your impending lung issues.
Yep.
Yeah, that was actually something I was quite impressed by.
Fursuit lung.
Huh?
fursuit long. What a malady.
Something I was impressed about was had the signs, you know, up for hiring, and they're like, you know, cashier, minimum wage, $12 to $14 an hour, and most of and other positions, you know, were more or less than that, mostly higher. Yeah.
And I feel like a manager, you get 20.
Yeah. And it's like, shit, man. I mean, $12 an hour for, you know, a cashier position is truly really good.
Yeah. I mean, my sister finally got a job, and she's working at Target, and she's getting 10, I mean, to start, so it's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for her, and good for everybody, really. So, I mean, it's good that place probably provides a lot of jobs, too, for the right area. I mean, it's right north of Temple, so it's not like it's, Temple's got, like, 50-something thousand people. It's not tiny. They've got a mall, they've got a Target and Walmart and all that other stuff. It's a little city.
They got a stoplight?
They have multiple stoplights.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it is kind of a mid-sized Texas city, I guess.
So we went down on Thursday.
Yes.
And Thursday midday. And we actually got down there at a really good time. We got there about like 7 o'clock by the end of it.
Something like that, yeah.
And we were like, oh, we're going to set up. And there were some issues. We didn't get to set up on Thursday nights. We were just like, let's get some food. Talk to people at the bar. And got some drinks and whatnot.
Yep.
It was just a nice chill thing. And then Zia got there.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see the sales corgi.
Yep. Yeah, Thursday was pretty super chill. It was quite nice. And then, you know, Friday through Sunday, we got down to dealing. And I basically just did selling, eating, and sleeping. And that was pretty much it. I didn't go to any of the events. I went to one of the events. I went to Denise Crosby's Q&A, which I think was Saturday afternoon, I want to say. Yeah. And that was fun. She was asked some interesting questions. That was pretty cool. I heard for those who don't know, Denise Crosby, mostly known for playing Tasha Yar on Star Trek Next Generation, and then later Sub-Commander Sela, Tasha's half-Romulan daughter, due to an alternate timeline situation. And, you know, I was wondering, like, what her kind of connection was to the LGBT community.
Uh-huh.
And somebody told me apparently her brother was gay and died, like, the height of, like, the AIDS crisis.
Ooh.
And, like, it really sort of, like,
impacted her.
Like, impacted her and, like, informed her of this whole situation and this whole community. But, like, she was the Grand Marshal of the Boston Gay Pride Parade. Like back in like 2011, think it was.
That's
cool. So she's been like involved with the gay community for a while, and they had her judging the drag show. So apparently she had like the crown and the sash and everything, and she was like, someone said dancing on a table. I don't know, like how big the table was, you know, if it was stable or not, but apparently two things that I saw people mentioned, that she was a lot of fun, she really enjoyed herself, and apparently she was well lubricated. She was sloshed quite a bit at the con. So, but she said she had a really good time, so that was cool. Unfortunately, the actress plays Ivanova in Babylon 5 was not able to be there because she did get a work commitment very late in the day and had to cancel.
Yeah, that happens.
Which, you know, you deal with people in the acting profession. That happens sometimes, you know.
So who's that dude that was next to her at her table? There was another actor dude, but I never wandered over to see who he was.
So he was a voice actor for video games. Paul Amos, his name.
Okay. It was one of those things where it's like, I don't want to be really rude and walk over and be like, so who are you?
That's why you go to the HavenCon's website and look it up, because that's what I did.
I was just like, okay, there's another guy, and they're both there, because in the vendor hall, we were in the corner, like right next to Denise Crosby and that Amos guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't really have lines in front of the table, but, you know, we had plenty of foot traffic come by,
mm-hmm.
and that certainly helped.
I think that probably helped quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah. And there was a lot of furry vendors there. Like, the vendor situation was very diverse. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of, like, groups, like the Rough Trade Gaming Co., which is a LGBT social guild that's on multiple games, that has a website and whatnot, and they're like Final Fantasy 14 and Guild Wars 2 and WoW and whatnot. And then there was like the Austin Furries had a couple table spots. There was a couple furry artists that had stuff, and there was a few artists that had, like, there was a dude that had some pretty cool actual paintings that were actual painting prices. Mm-hmm. But also a couple webcomic artists, a couple of, like, I got a super fucking cute Evolution lanyard. It's a pink lanyard with all the little Evolutions marching in a line, and it repeats around the thing. It's actually probably made by the same company that made my Bat Pony lanyard that I got last year at Nightmare Nights.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like printed by the same company because it's like artist designs and whatnot.
So he's an actor from Wales. He played a character called Jacob Fry in Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Jack the Ripper, which is a video game came out in 2015. He's on a TV series called Lost Girl. Played the same character in the video game in an earlier version of it. And looks like he's been in a bunch of other like TV shows and stuff like that.
Okay.
Episode of Warehouse 13, Degrassi, you know, probably some British stuff. He's from Wales.
Okay. So. And, but it was neat. The, I mean, most of my convention experience was waking up, going down the vendor hall, vending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
I didn't really go to any of the other things.
Yeah.
And I was actually kind of disappointed because their game room was very sparse this year.
Mm, so I saw, so HavenCon posted basically a con report about HavenCon. They said the good, they put the good, the bad, and the ugly out there. And part of the ugly was apparently they had a pretty high level sponsor that was going to provide three like complete VR setups for the video game room. And I guess that would probably take a good chunk of space, which might be why they didn't have like indie devs, or they maybe didn't seek out indie devs like they did last year. And that sponsor pulled out close to the last minute. So it was just like a local fan group that brought in like the classic Nintendo system and stuff like that that you saw in there.
Because like last year they had Finji that had Night in the Woods and a couple other games, the Black and Ice devs and whatnot. The, they had GameStop.
God, what's the name of the Finji?
Finji.
Finji. Yeah, they couldn't be there, but they still sponsored.
Yeah.
And they actually provided a free copy of Night in the Woods to all the VIP level sponsors.
And that's cool. I mean, because that's a good game.
Yeah. But they weren't able to be there in person this year, but they still wanted to support the thing. But yeah, I know what you're saying. The video game room was apparently a lot smaller than it had been in previous years.
Yeah. But, you know, it was good for the it was good for the intended market, right?
Yeah.
Like, and Path actually articulated it very well because, you know, if we think about it, we have our community. We have our furry cons.
Mm-hmm.
And our conventions are generally very safe spaces for people to express themselves and be themselves,
mm-hmm.
where people can just be their weird old goodness self.
Because we're a very queer fandom.
Yeah, as a super queer. And, like, here at HavenCon, like, I imagine that this is, like, one of the very few cons. There's, like, Gamer X on the West Coast and a couple others, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
that cater specifically to LGBT folks and, like, our nerd conventions too.
Yeah.
Because I'm just gonna say that on average, the average gaming or anime con or comic con goer is not the most enlightened of individuals, and you probably, you know, can't go presenting female if you're trans, or, you know, be as outwardly visibly queer in some regards at some state place and still feel very safe. Obviously, HavenCon being specifically marketed at LGBT attendees.
Yeah.
Like, it is a safe environment for people to do that. And that was on full display. And everybody seemed to be having a good time. And, you know, we interact with all kinds.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
And I think Pat's right. Like, we kind of take that for granted being in the furry space most of the time.
Well, and it is one of those things where because we have, like, we're still biased towards the male side of things when it comes to, like, gender representation or sex representation. But we are still, like, the queerest of fandoms.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you go look at anime cons or gaming cons or sci-fi or comic cons, and it's still super fucking straight.
Right.
And, like, I can totally see where, like, LGBT people, they would, you know, they could still, they'll still go, but they won't be as outwardly
still feeling very marginalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, cons like HavenCon are important for that regard.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why we've, you know, boosted it so much and talked it up so much. Because, like, you know, it's an important event. And it's like, yeah, it's not the biggest thing in the world, but it has to come from somewhere.
Had about 1,100 people there this year.
Not too
bad. They posted that. They've already posted their dates for next year, and it's going to be in the same hotel. Part of the good of the Con Report was the hotel was very happy with them, wants them to come back.
Well, that's good.
There were apparently very – there's always issues with every con.
Of course.
They had very few issues. So the hotel was like, yeah, we totally want to keep working with you guys. So.
That's good to hear because you never know. And it was really funny because after we wrapped up on – we were leaving on Monday because you had out in the room till Monday that – you know, the group that came and took over the space was like some National Day of Prayer thing. And I'm like, ha, 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 your God can't hear you now. The queers have claimed this land. Our magical taint will be forever in this land, says hotel.
We rubbed our magical taints over every surface. And now I got an infection because it's a fucking hotel. And Febreze that's terrible.
Won't save you now. but it was an all right time, and it was good to see Zia, and it was, you know, even if I wasn't, like, the super most enthused, like, I was kind of bored at parts, not gonna lie, but that was mainly because most of the time I was, like, vending or back in the room, really. Like, it was kind of my own fault.
Yeah.
But, like, it serves an important purpose for people that are not necessarily in the furry fandom to have a super queer-friendly convention. So clearly what these people need to do is just start just be furries and come to our cons. Be like, yo, you guys just slap on a tail, you can come to Furry Fiesta.
Well, like the guy to the right of us who does a podcast, Tome Foolery, right, where he basically rips on these like horrible, weird, over-the-top religious books and stuff like that. But he was wearing a tail on Sunday. I don't even know if he's a furry or a furry adjacent or whatever. But
at one point,
Denise Crosby was wearing not just any tail, like a rainbow fox tail.
Yeah.
And then the next day she was wearing fucking gray furry ears.
And then also somebody brought by their rainbow scale mail tail, dragon tail.
Oh.
And was super amused by the guy that put it on and was pouncing about with it. And was like, oh, that's cute. And she was just laughing her ass off. So,
yeah, she totally got into the spirit of things. And it's like, this is a community that doesn't seem to see furries as weird or a threat or anything like that. It's just like, oh, it's this weird, different thing. And that's kind of cool. And actually, on that same note, Boozy Barrister or Boozy Badger went to Furthermore last weekend, and he posted his con report. It sounded like he had a really good time.
Yep. That went well, and now he's like, I'm going to go to Anthrocon now.
Yeah, and he wants to go back to Furthermore next year. So
hey, that's cool. Yep. And he wrote a couple of, like, last Friday and then this Friday, or, like, he made a post, I think, today that covered, like, last Friday's thing.
Because he started to do a Furry Friday edition of his blog where he's going to address legal issues that may specifically affect furries.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, that's cool. And he was like, you know, you guys really don't give yourself enough credit. You don't have to find outside validity. You have these, you know, upstanding members of society in your fandom as it is.
Yeah.
You know, upstandingness may, you know, vary. But,
yeah, because, I mean, if your fursona is a feral, then you're not upstanding, you're on all fours.
You're quad standing.
You're quad standing, yes.
Yeah. God damn it. So, yeah, that went well, and furthermore, apparently went just fine.
Yep, they had a growth in attendance, and they raised a little 10, over 10 grand for their charity.
Which is good.
Which is awesome.
I think we actually have a con report from that.
Yes. Boozy was really happy that, like, one of his old case books and an empty bottle of liquor went for, like, $130, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't quite get that furries will throw money at anything at a charity auction.
Yeah, like, in the spirit of a charity, people will buy fucking anything.
I mean, shit.
And shout out to Dusk Darch, and it was Dusk that bought the case book.
He also won the poker tournament, so, you know, it works out.
Yeah, yeah.
The, like, one year at Nightmare Nights, we had a box of asparagus that got signed, like, the plastic container got signed and somebody bought it for like $100. So just because it's like, yo, it's going for kids with cancer. So
yeah,
it's all for the charity.
And
the
Ooh, walls. Make your piss smell funny for charity.
Yay! But this plastic box has an autograph from like a number of people who voice horses. This is important.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, whatever works.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So has Rapocalypse said anything? Or have we just kind of like...
The last I checked, their Twitter account had not updated. Let me do a quick check.
Yeah, so this is on the less fun side of things. So, Rapocalypse is a Halloween-themed furry con in...
Connecticut,
in the tail end of October. So, like, their 27th, 29th, I think. Same weekend as Nightmare Nights this year. And their theme this year is, like, Haunted Asylum. Which is like...
They have not made a tweet in 3 days.
Ooh. So they have this thing like, oh, and we're crazy. Like, we're crazy excited to tell you about our registration levels. And it's like the attending is like patient and the next step's orderly. And then there's like electroshock technician and like the god level is lobotomist. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't think this is a good theme.
Like, so their theme had been announced for a while. And, you know, on Haunted Asylum is like, that's not
real. It's a spooky horror trope.
Yeah, it's a spooky horror trope. That's not really an issue. I don't really think patient and orderly are too bad. But when you get up to the latter levels, it's like actual things that have been done that caused lasting harm to people.
Like, that don't actually help you at all.
Right, and particularly nowadays, because, like, with Mike Pence in the vice president's office, and he's known for supporting conversion therapy for gay kids, it's one of those things that is a political hot button right now.
Yeah, it's real tone deaf.
Yeah, it's just, that's really it. You know, I don't think it's purposely being malicious or trying to be edgy or something like that. I just think it was tone deaf and that nobody noticed that it could be an issue, which as much as it surprises some people, you can have a fucking con staff, dozens of people, and it can be vetted over and over by so many people and something will just fucking slip through. It happens.
Well, and what sucks for them too is that like, they've made it a hot button issue by like they copy pasted a reply a few times and then stopped.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
Either going to reevaluate and make adjustments to their theme or they're going to double down on it.
I mean,
one or the other, I'm presuming that they haven't spent a ton of money on like printing badges and shit
not
yet,
this far out
because it's way far out. So I think, you know, if you look at cons as, yeah, you're running a business, and something you look at in a business is PR and good PR versus bad PR and maintaining good community relations, I would think whether they agree with the issues that have been raised or not, a lot of people are very unhappy with them. If I were them, I would make some adjustments to their theme or their reg levels at least, and maybe put out a statement saying, yeah, we fucked up, we were tone deaf, here's what we've changed.
And it's a couple simple adjustments that change the optics considerably. And you know, because but what sucks is they've put themselves in the center of this as a, of a issue, like, and so now people are being polarized on both sides, and you've got the oh the SJWs are mad at this con, therefore we must support it, and the con's getting these fucking right wing dipshit fur fags that are just like ah right wing electroshock, I'm gonna be put my name is Mark Pence for the electroshock therapist level, some fucking circle tweeted that shit, and
you know I saw that and like. I looked at it more as a they were pointing out how ridiculous this was. But by,
then their icon's a circle with a MAGA hat on.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, and I wasn't going to throw all circles under the bus, but no, if they're wearing a MAGA circle. Hat. Okay, well, then fuck them. I mean, I was going to try to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I did look at their – because when you see people making tweets like that, you like click their feed and look at their shit, and it's like – Oh,
you're a shitty person.
Block.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been trying to curate my Twitter experience and being like, oh, you're a shitty person. Block.
Yeah.
Just getting preemptive.
Because, yeah.
Seriously. I ain't got time for that shit.
Yeah, right. You have nothing of value to add to my life, you know, and honestly, I have nothing of value to add to yours. If you're coming in there as some crazy alt-right MAGA, Trump's gonna fix everything. People that, you know, want to treat people with respect and everyone to get along or get health care or horrible SJWs that are ruining the world. And I'm like, I have nothing to say to you, you know?
Yeah. It sucks that it's so super polarized, but fuck, what can you do?
Well, I mean, you know, they've actually shown that, like, liberals and conservatives literally think different, you know, and, you know, if people were having a civilized debate, that's one thing. But like, so I actually
Twitter does not lend itself to that.
Twitter does not lend itself to that at all. I was actually talking about this on a writer chat the other day. Twitter is really good for making a short, offensive or controversial statement with no like proof, evidence or backup.
Yeah.
You know, to just throw out some random thing and then sit back and watch the chaos reign. Because if you say something controversial or shitty and somebody wants to reply to it, well, they usually have to reply with multiple tweets refuting you with evidence and possibly with links to sources. And that shit you can't do in 140 characters. You can make multiple tweets, sure, but
you're shouting into the void at that point.
You really are shouting into the void, and they're just going to reply, lol, SJW, fag, and move on with their lives. So you could really just cut out the whole middleman and just be like, well, this person seems like a shitty person. I don't need them in my life.
Blocked.
Move on. And, you know, I used to try and sort of, like, take the tell myself I was taking the high road or something like that. And I'm like, nah, that shit's gone. Those conversations have no value. It's just a waste of time, and it distracts me when I'm supposed to be at work.
Yep. It's like, I'm going to spend time. It's like, I tweeted, I'd much rather be mad about video games and the inability to acquire consumer goods than politics, but it's 2018, so we're getting both.
Yeah.
It's like, 2017.
Whatever. I was going to correct you.
Yeah, fuck. Whatever. Current year. Fucking current year.
Current year, worst year.
Yep.
Forever.
So, we haven't, neither of us have seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet. So.
No.
Didn't that come out, like?
Now.
It comes out tonight.
It's out now. Yeah.
Okay. I know a couple people have seen it. They're like, oh, I can't wait to see it, blah, blah, blah. And, like, Baby Groot's awful. He's a little Jar Jar wannabe. I'm like, oh, that sucks, but whatever.
But he looks so cute.
I'm still going to see it. And I'm going to see Thor Ragnarok, and I'm going to see fucking Infinity War.
Yeah.
I'll get around to it.
Star Wars 8.
Yep.
In December. Yeah.
The Lost Jedi. I lost my GPS. I didn't have R2 around to tell me where I was. My Wi-Fi broke. I don't have Netflix. It sucks.
Why did I think you were going to say my waifu?
Luke may have had a waifu, but, you know, she's no longer canon, so.
There's, like, a fucking punctured thing in Luke's little cave of sadness.
Oh, it's just like a waifu pillow ashes. It's like that. There's a tattered. It's like, you know, it was. He got it before he knew Leia was a sister. It's the fucking slave Leia Dakamagara.
Oh God, that's awful. Now it just like he puts like something over his face. Yeah,
it's got a giant burlap sack.
So interesting about that was like there was all these like fan theories about who Rey is, and one that was being put forth a lot was Rey's a Kenobi. Rey is the child of when Obi-Wan hooked up with that the leader of Mandalore in Clone Wars, because they clearly had something going on. And then I saw another article that put forth a better theory that was like, nah, that's bullshit for all of these reasons. I don't remember what they were. But one of the main things they pointed out was that they think Rey's a Skywalker, because the entire Star Wars saga has been the story of the Skywalker clan. It starts with Anakin and his mother in Phantom Menace. The first trilogy is all about Anakin. The second trilogy is all about Luke. And Anakin is still involved, even killing the Emperor at the end of Episode 6. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense of an overall 9-part story that the last three are not suddenly going to change from that path. The last three are going to be about the Skywalker family also. So it would make sense for it to go from Luke to his progeny.
Yeah. And the question is, like, who is the mom? Probably doesn't
matter. Leia, because they were like, fuck it, midichlorians. Incest doesn't count when it's the Force. I don't know. No. But, you know, I think maybe that Rey is a couple years younger than Kylo Ren. And basically when Kylo went nuts and killed all of Luke's other students, like when Luke basically went into exile, I think he took Rey somewhere he thought she'd be safe and dropped her, hoping that like the rest of her family would never find her so that she'd be safe. Much like how he and Leia were split up and dumped on other planets when they were babies. And like, because she looked like maybe, I don't know, like 6 years old, 5 years old or something in the flashback scene. Yeah. So very young. And then that might be why she was on Jakku in the middle of nowhere. And why, and if she's the grandchild of Anakin, that also explains why she had such a strong Force ability without, you know, much training.
Like, I'm going to do this with raw power.
Yeah. Sorry, you know, sorry for the sudden right turn, but it is a slightly more pleasant conversation than politics.
Oh, it is.
And it is May 4th, so I guess it's sort of appropriate.
Yeah. Looking forward to the next movie. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
And we need to do like a fucking Clone Wars rewatch and go watch Rebels, because...
So I've watched season one of Rebels because it was on sale on iTunes for like $10. But like the later seasons of Rebels, they're frankly fucking expensive for what you get. Like, you know, it's like you're like 13 episodes. You're like, yeah, that's average. But they're only 22 minutes long.
Yeah.
And they're like $40 a season or something like that. And I'm just like, I can't quite bring myself to buy that, you know? It's like, it's not like I'm going to go back and rewatch them, you know? I'd rather they were just on fucking Netflix, like Clone Wars.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, maybe it'll show up eventually. I mean, the show's only going to the end of 4th season.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, so they're only doing 4 seasons. And apparently, timeline-wise...
It's going to go past Rogue One, from what I read.
Yeah.
It's not just going to stop at Rogue One. It's going to go a little after it.
Yeah. Well, because the Ghost is in it, and the Ghost survives the battle at the end of Rogue One.
Right.
It escapes to hyperspace ahead of the arrival of the 2 Star Destroyers that mm-hmm. all that fun stuff.
Oh, have you seen the neat cosplay thing they did at a bunch of cosplayers did this at Star Wars Celebration, where it starts with someone's at the ATM and they take out their card and they're dressed like one of the rebel troopers and they start passing it off to each other like, it's the plans, and then you see a Darth Vader cosplayer chasing after them, and there's a there's someone dressed like Leia, and like they pass the plans through a closing sliding glass door that's closing instead of, like, you know, the spaceship from the thing. It was actually really well done because everybody was really on point with their costume and everything like that. And
there was a fun video I saw. It was John Boyega photobombing people, and there's like. It was like a special shoot thing that they set up. I'm sure it was all staged, but it was basically John Boyega would, like, all right, now foot forward, we're going to take photos, and I do this pose, and he would pop out from behind a curtain and do the pose behind them. Like, all right, well, let's show you the photo, and they show the photo, and he pops back out behind the curtain, and they're like, oh my fucking God, and then he pops out, and they're like, ah, John Boyega.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Another one I saw that I thought was really cute was there was this little girl who was cosplayed as, I can't remember her name, the female lead in Rogue One.
Jyn Erso.
Okay. She was cosplayed as that character, and she was giving copies of the plans to every Leia cosplayer.
Aw. That's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a really cute thing. It was one of the, actually, it was the same vendor that I purchased my Evolution lanyard from at HavenCon. She had done a series of illustrations of the leads of Rogue One, and she had it so that Shuri and the heavy weapons dude, basically the blind monk Jedi and the heavy weapons guy, and she'd put in a little, like, post-it note, like, married heart, and it was just like, oh, that's cute, because she did, like, it was a panoramic illustration of, like, the leads, and put the Shirut and other guy whose name I can't remember. Why can't I remember the name Shirut Imwe, but I can't remember Heavy Weapons guy name?
I don't remember any of the characters' names from Rogue One.
Like, the fact that I can remember that and, like, Jyn Erso, it's like, I saw the movie once.
Yeah, I just saw it once,
but I liked it.
There was another cute thing I saw at HavenCon. Someone had made, like, little handmade beanie dolls of a lot of different characters. Yes. And they'd done a Finn and Poe.
Nice.
And they were
They had a tiny little Allura from Voltron, which is really cute. It was the same person. They also had the Shirut and other and Head Weapons guy. And
didn't they have a bunch of the Avengers characters?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah. There was lots of really cute stuff there.
Yeah.
Like, the vendors there put forth a good effort. And, and the gal that sold me the lanyard, I literally purchased the last one for Zia.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, it's the one with
the little, it's in that bag right there, but it's a little, it's the pink one.
Oh, okay. With the all little, the evolutions.
Yeah, the little Pokemons on it.
Yeah.
And, I hope that the people that were there had a good time, and it was fun because a couple of the people that vended Nightmare Nights were there.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a gal who, she was the one who made the HavenCon furry badges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was, like, trying to find her on FA, and her name is something completely different. It's like Seaman, S-E-A-M-E-N or whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
And
I found her FA.
But it's like home. Pink Gator is her name of her company.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was looking for Pink Gator FA, and it went to some other thing, and it was some Australian fat fetish. And I'm like, that's not her.
It's sort of like when I saw someone's FA account was Bernie Lover, and I thought they were like a big Bernie Sanders fan, but it was an old account. They're like, oh, St. Bernard, right?
Oh.
Okay.
But and it was funny because I looked at her website to find out what her FA was, and on the thing is, like, on the cons that she hopes to vend at, she listed Nightmare Nights. I was like, oh, well, let me give you a flyer. And I talked to her a bit. I was like, hey, just, you know, make sure you put in your application. It's open until, like, the end of June.
Yeah.
So you don't have to hop on it right this second, but you should do it sooner rather than later.
Oh, okay, cool.
But it was one of those things where it's like, it was a nice opportunity for me to do kind of like some in-person, I guess, recruitment kind of. But networking. It's just one of those things where it's like, oh, this person wants to vend at my con. Cool, I'll talk to them in person and tell them what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because
field them out. Make sure they're not a shithead or something.
Well, she had some super cute stuff. She had the really bright colored sparkle dog stuff, and she'd done some pony stuff and whatnot, and flutter butt. Yes, Fuzz.
Hey, you showed me
that. Yeah, I showed you, and I was like, like, and it's funny because it's like, oh, she's laying on the bed and it's her, she's wearing panties on her butt. Like, okay, it's like she doesn't normally wear clothes, but because there's panties and she's on a bed, it kind of goes over the line. God damn it. Why does putting clothes on a horse make it lewd?
Because, you know, they're covering up her horse pussy.
Yep. Oh, Fuzz. So, other than that, like, oh, the Division is doing a free weekend. Did I mention that earlier?
What's the Division?
So the Division is some Tom Clancy, Merca fuck yeah, thing. It came out a couple years ago, actually. And Ubisoft is doing a free weekend if you have Uplay installed. And I do, and it's like 45 fucking gigs to download.
What?
So it took me a while to do
it. That was a big-ass game. Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know what's normal for a game now, but 45 gigs seems like a big fucking download. Like,
I had Doom installed until I was like, holy shit, I need space on my internal hard drive, my SSD, because it's only a 512. And I was down to like 100, and I'm like, I'm going to delete that now. And it was like 70 fucking gigs for Doom. It's like, ugh, fuck, man. Wow. But anyways, it's this... It's a third-person shooter game with, like, a kind of dumb premise. Like, terrorists put weaponized smallpox on $20 bills and distribute them on Black Friday.
I was just trying to imagine a second-person shooter where, like, the other player's gun is pointed at you at the screen the whole time.
Yes.
It's like, it's you getting shot the whole time.
Yeah. And it's... It's not a Tom Clancy, like, property. It has the name Tom Clancy's The Division, but Tom Clancy's been fucking dead. So it is just, like...
It's based on his world.
Yeah, his world of America fuck yeah bullshit and war intrigue and gun fetishization. Yeah, so it's one of those
things. Oil my gun.
Well, the thing is like... It happens in New York City on Black Friday, and basically everybody gets smallpox, and most people die. And you're part of The Division, a super secret government agency that has no rules and answers to no one but The Division. And they're sent in to try to maintain order, which basically involves them not being in uniform and shooting people that shoot at them. Rioters and preppers and, like, ex-convicts that escape from the prison and, like... Kind of a weird game. It's like, I'm going to be an ununiformed United States agent person gunning down people in the streets of New York City after an apocalypse. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, in hindsight, I can kind of see why certain people were not too thrilled with this game. I don't know. It's a free weekend. I'll probably check out a little bit further, but... It's one of those things, like, when you think about the game setting a little bit, it's like, this shit's happening in the United States. And, you know, I don't know. How would they do this? But it's also, you know, fantasy weaponized smallpox on $20 bills that caused the whole thing, so.
Right.
Whatever. But in other, and actually in games that don't make you question the setting thereof, there's a cute game called Forsaken Castle that's currently on crowdfunding. It's a little GBA Castlevania style game that has a demo out. I tried to make a video on it 3 times, but there's something wrong with that game's like audio drivers or something, because every time I tried to record something, it would be all clippy as fuck. Like the audio would clip real bad. So I don't know what the fuck's with it.
That's
Yeah, because it's a neat little game, and I got my speed run down to, like, beating the demo in 7 minutes. Because I had to do it, like, 4 times.
Yeah.
Like, adjusting my settings. And it's just like, well, I know how to do this. I'm just going to jump over this guy, jump here, whip there, get the meat here. There's the fireball, Hadouken, jump over that guy, fuck it. And just, like, literally speed running my way through this just demo. Throw
Hadouken.
Well, no, it's like one of the abilities you get. Like, third active ability you get is, like, literally a Hadouken fireball. You have to use it to hit, like, crystals that block doors or something from distance that your other abilities won't hit. And so,
crystals, man.
Yeah, man. Blue crystals. Ooh, blue Ooh. Crystal meth. Ooh. But it's one of those. Oh, that could. It's a totally competent Castlevania-ass Castlevania game.
Mm-hmm.
That like their goal is not to be very long. It's like, let's do about a 6-hour game. And I'm like, that's respectable.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like nowadays you kind of want games that you can that respect your time. It's like, oh, this will take 6 hours to beat. Oh, fine, that's great. I can do that in a couple days. Not like this game is 300 hours long. It's like, well, might as well not pick it up. It's kind of like because there's so much shit to play right now. It's like, oh, a game that demands. I mean, people are complaining because like Nier Automata and Zelda and this that, and the other all came out and Persona 5 all came out and like. Near each other.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, oh, I'm still working on Zelda. Oh, God, Persona 5. Oh, God, Nier Automata. Oh, God, video games that are really long.
What a first world problem.
I know, right? It is super first world nerd problem.
God, there's too much content.
There's too much good content to consume.
This is
my
like
life.
The opposite of what all the WoW players are complaining about.
Yeah,
usually.
Man, fuck WoW right now. It's so fucking boring. I've unsubbed. My sub runs out in 2 weeks, and I'm just like... Mm-hmm. Log on, do a couple things. I'm like, oh, I don't want to fucking do this. Log off, play something else.
Yeah.
It's when the game gets to that point where you're like, I don't want to fucking touch this.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. I mean, I'm not a game player, but I'm like, if you're looking at something that's a hobby and you're like, I don't want to fucking do this.
Yeah, that what's like.
Doesn't sound like you should do it.
What sucks is like in the most recent patch for Really Dangerous. They super nerfed how to get money really, really, really hard.
Uh-huh.
And so I've kind of put the game down because, well, when you're flying a ship that costs several million credits to replace and your missions that you're getting are only giving you a few hundred thousand at a time, you got to do like 10 fucking missions before you can pay to repurchase your ship if you get blown up. Kind of makes you a little bit risk averse. So
how do you get more money if your ship gets blown up?
If your ship gets blown up, you go back to the insurance screen, and the insurance screen tells you, okay, it costs you this much to rebuy. Thankfully, in the Elite Dangerous universe, they have universal insurance that covers 95% of a loss. Mm. And, well, if you're flying a ship that is 60, 70 million credits put into it, still got to pay a few million to replace it. You're deductible, basically.
So what if you don't have
it? You're fucked. You basically get told...
Game over?
Pretty much. Like, your game over is you get, if you can't afford it to rebuy your ship, you lose the ship and you get spat back to the starter planet in a starter ship.
Mm.
Which can be incredibly inconvenient for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're out at Colonia or you're super mega deep space exploring on the northern fringe of the galaxy and you fly into a sun accidentally.
Whoops.
Whoopsie daisy, I just lost several million credits worth of shit and I'm getting spat back to be to like whatever the start point.
So I guess the in-game explanation is probably you escaped in like an escape
pod. It's like
pod.
An escape pod, but when you're literally 50,000 light years from Earth and a cool 35,000 from any other civilized thing, it's like, I don't know. It's magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Space magic.
Space magic.
Mm. So do you want to pause and then go to emails?
Actually, we're right at an hour almost. So we're going to stop and save, and we will be right back.
Are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh no! When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive a free sex swing. Hang that sex swing to your door and hang on tight. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, they're not kidding. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type in NOT in the coupon code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get a free sex swing and free shipping. Just use offer code NOT at AdamandEve.com. That's K-N-O-T, NOT at AdamandEve.com.
And we are back. Buy some dongs. It's important. Yes.
Yeah.
So, we are going to go to emails now. We have rambled for literally an hour about all sorts of topics, and now we're going to answer your emails. So, you can always email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com or through our Tumblr. Like, what website is it? What website?
Tumblr. Through our GeoCities site. Yes.
Our Mongolian basket weaving message board. Notcast.com will take you to our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com. You can ask us a non-stuff. So, we have a number of emails this week.
Quick question. Does Discord's little coffee cup come out of his hand?
Nope.
Huh. It looks like it would. It does seem to be well-crafted.
Oh, Panther just sent me something. A Transport Canada. Oh, I got a reply from Zyro. It's a German Shepherd lab mix. And I'm like, oh, God, it's so cute. Our friends of ours just, they've wanted to adopt a pup for a long time, and they finally have adopted. Now that they have a house, they have a backyard that has, like, 10 times the space of the actual house. It's this tiny little 1950s two-bedroom.
Yeah.
And, like, it has about as much, like, slightly more square footage of, like, our old apartment on the other side of the complex here.
Yeah.
Like, it's about that big.
My mom's house in Florida was like that. Had a huge backyard, but a pretty small actual house.
But it's a Shepherd lab mix, and it's super cute. Let's see.
So I'm going to read this. Actually, I don't want to read the long one.
Okay, so I'll read the long one.
So you read the Patreon comment from Wolfie Man.
And Panther just sent me a thing where it's like, Transport Canada issued a recall for all-terrain armored transports, 8 AT-ATs. Like, their legs may freeze up in cold weather, such as planets like Hoth. So it was like, Government of Canada thing. Okay, so anyways, so 2 weeks ago we had an email about open relationships and polyamorous relationships.
Yes.
We recommended a couple books, and we made some good guesses, apparently. But we got a couple comments. So this one here is from the Wolfie Man, commented on our Patreon, patreon.com/notcast. Go there, buck an episode, be a hero. So might be a little late to mention this, but I'd totally recommend Tristan Taormino's, T-A-O-R-M-I-N-O, Tristan Taormino, Opening Up Over Ethical Slut. Ethical Slut's a great book, but it's really counterculture-y from the angle of the person figuring out their poly, while Opening Up covers a lot more for the advice for people seeking poly partners. So, Tristan Taormino, book titled Opening Up. I bet if you type up Opening Up in quotes with book, you'll probably find it. Mm-hmm. Probably easier than finding the correct spelling of this guy. Tristan, Taormino. So okay. There is that.
Cool. So I'm going to read the first email we got since then. Subject line is Trouser Snakes on a Train. Insert witty salutation here. I'm taking a 10-day train trip this May and was looking for reading material, and reading is in scare quotes. I have a roommate on the train, so I'll have some privacy, but I will also be reading in other parts of the train, so I'm looking for both things I can and cannot FAP. Damn it, spell check, FAP is a word. Two. While I appreciate a good story about a hung wolf tongue-punching a fox's dirt star, I don't want a kid, ask me what that horrifyingly realistic dog cock red thing is. Love, a furry named Grey Wolf. P.S.
Talking about his train ride.
Yeah. Want me to read it?
Sure, read it.
Okay. In case anyone is wondering, I am waking up too fucking early, May 16th, and leaving Cleveland, arriving at Chicago for a 5-hour layover, leaving there for a 2-day train ride to Seattle through the home of Schatz Brewery, the Twin Cities, a fuck ton of nothing, and a potato state. Spending a day hanging out with a friend in Seattle, taking a train down the coast to San Francisco, spending a couple days in San Francisco and walking Beta Breakers, leaving San Francisco early Monday on a 2.5-day train ride back to Chicago via Mormontown, the Mile High City, and Lincoln, the President, Nebraska. Actually, sounds like a
like a really cool
long trip. That sounds like it's be pretty fun. I mean, you're just going to get to see parts of the country you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're on a train, but so that actually sounds pretty interesting, especially if you're just kind of like, yo, I'm going to fuck off to Seattle and see some friends. I'm going to fuck off down to San Francisco and participate in a neat cultural walk thing.
Yeah.
Beta Breakers is like a race where people dress up in costumes and shit, and some people do it naked, and it's always the crusty old people that do it naked because, why not?
you reach that point in life where you just don't give a fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun.
So there's lots of books that you could read. I mean, I could throw out some recent publication recommendations from For Planet. We have a short story erotica collection by Rechan called Intimate Little Secrets, which is obviously adult, mostly straight romance. And then we have a sci-fi horror anthology called Bleak Horizons. And those both came out at Furry Fiesta just last month, 2 months ago, I guess. March, yeah.
Month and a half,
yeah. I would also highly recommend Kismet by Watts Martin, which is, it's also non-adult. It is a science fiction novel. It's like, what did someone call it? Zootopia meets The Expanse.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's a really good book. I really enjoyed it. And, of course, I mean, we have lots of adult stuff on our website, too.
It's like, yeah, maybe don't get copies of, like, Deep Dark or Trevor's Tricks to read publicly on the train. That's why you have ebook versions.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could totally read the adult books on ebooks. Our ebook site's baddogbooks.com, so you can buy adult or non-adult there and throw them on your Kindle and then, you know, not have to worry about that lovely, lovely fox bulge on the cover of Trevor's Tricks. Yep.
Or Plowed.
Yes. 10 foxes, 10 farms, loads of plowing.
Yep. Agriculture.
Yeah.
All right. So for planet.com, check it out. Buy some books.
Order now.
All right, kids. So this next one is...
Boy, that sure is a thing.
A thing. So, this one's titled, Furry Raiders and Two Griffin. Please let Long Ears read. That would be me.
Yes.
Dear Notcast, Banal Heart here again with an official announcement. Nazi Furs disavow any affiliation with the Furry Raiders or Two the Griffin. These individuals are not Nazi Furs. Full disclosure, I did have a drink and a conversation with two at a hotel bar at FWA once. There, it's official. From the granddaddy of Nazi Furs' own mouth, Banal Heart says they aren't Nazi Furs. Nazi Furs are ashamed to be associated with individuals like those who have created so much butthurt in our beloved fandom. I'd like to take a moment to address the young furs wearing armbands at cons if I could. Look, guys, my little schnitzel, you've made your granddaddy sad. I am sorry, Shane, by the actions you've committed and the drama you've created under the auspices of membership to a group I created before any of you first discovered porn of dog people on the internet. You are the reason I cry each time Cuckwolf and SJW Fox mention the name Nazi Furs, and they've been using that name a lot lately. The tone and feel of the furry fandom has changed over the years since I founded the Nazi Fur community on LiveJournal. It has become more vocal and militant about social issues and perceived injustice. Back in the day, several Nazi Furs were known members of the staff of RCFM, panels, and MFM, and it was less controversial than being a baby fur. Know why? Because we weren't out there trying to be edgy and offensive. We had private room parties in uniform, not out in event space. We weren't causing problems. We weren't trying to be the cool kids. We were watching Das Boot with the sound on low and being good citizens of our furry community. I let you corrupt me. You enticed me with the lulls and the infamy. The more you guys strayed from our original purpose, the more I let myself be swept along. I, too, became that asshole people reviled. I created that paw print instead of a swastika armband in 2005. With documentation and photographic proof, not that it matters, in an attempt to be less offensive. But to be honest, that was just the excuse I gave people. I even designed and printed and sold t-shirts. I commissioned a lot of art of my character as a Nazi baby fur. For the lulz, I said. But I said it was a juxtaposition of something cute and innocent with something evil and corrupt. I told people it was artistic, a statement, but it was for the lulz. I was infamous. But that shit got tired. And I was wrong. And you're wrong. To the furry raiders. The Notcast cast made a good point recently. You younger kids don't know my name because I learned to grow up. I watched you turn my baby into a dumpster fire, and I walked away once I saw that you'd turned my hard work into. People are calling you Nazi furs now, and I suppose there are some aspects of your movement that remind me of what we once were. We, too, once attempted to do good deeds. I've been a convention medic for years. I've been staff at many cons, but I've gotten old now. I've realized that no matter how good I look in a uniform made by Hugo Boss, the association with Hitler is a detriment to any good works I accomplished. I'm not edgy. I'm not cool. I'm just an old fulf working as an EMT trying to cause the least amount of damage and offense as I can. And you know what? So can you. I urge your listeners to listen to your grandpappy Bandelhart here and learn from my example. World War II history is amazing. Visiting museums and watching documentaries and doing reenactments are the best, in proper context. Placing your fursona in that setting is totally rad. I want to see more anthro comics and novels set during World War II so much. I know all kinds of shit about tactics, weapons, because I'm a history buff. But a furry convention isn't the place, guys. Not in public, anyways. A private room party, guys. For reals. Like anything else that may hurt so many butts, you have to minimize damage and offense. And whew, boy, do furries get butthurt by anyone who doesn't agree with them when they're feeling offended on someone's behalf. Make things better than you found them. Strive for the improvement of your fellow man. Limit the damage you do to others. And grow the fuck up like your old granddaddy has tried to do. Anyways, thanks for the soapbox, Pleasant Saver and Shiva, who may or may not be there. Remember to use our coupon code NOTC, that's the KNOT, Bandelhart. Sent from my iPad in the back of a speeding ambulance. So that was interesting. Thanks for writing in, Bandelhart. That is enlightening. Even old Nazi furs can learn to grow up and not be edgelords anymore. That's good. So, next email for us.
Okay. I have an anonymous Tumblr here. Hello, it's the Rubber Wolf again. I finally remembered a question I wanted to ask. Do you guys think you could do another Terrible Advice Week or some other gimmick of the week show like a Wheel of Fetishes or whatever again sometime? It'd be quite nice to hear you guys being extra terrible again. X3. It would be kind of fun to do a Terrible Advice Week where we're just like, I do remember doing that once where we're like, just don't take any of this advice.
It's like, warning. This episode is full of bad advice. Do not actually take it to heart.
Yeah, or mix it up a little, or come up with another themed week or something like that. So,
or, you know, like, we used to have the Wheel of Fetishes things. Like, you know, people write in just like, what is your favorite thing and what really turns your crank and tell us why?
Yeah.
You know, that'd be fine. It's like, I want to talk about vor. I like the thought of being eaten. Okay. I really like slime girls, you know, whatever. It's like, you could totally do that. Mm-hmm. Be like, this is my kink and this is why it's my fave. Birds. Bird vor. Get really specific.
You know? Yeah. Cloaca vor.
You get shoved up inside and then put inside an egg and then put out. It's like combination vor and
OV position and M preg.
Oh my God. I just made a fetish in someone's heart right now.
I bet they are. Like, yeah. Oh, God, that sounds so odd. You, like, you jerk off inside the egg and you fertilize yourself?
Holy shit. You're your own dad.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Internet.
Mm. Okay. All right, so that's next week's topic, then. Yeah. We've already put the idea out there.
So next week's topic can be, you know, your favorite kink. Write in and tell us about your favorite kink.
And don't justify, you don't have to justify it. Just explain
why you like it.
Why you like it. What about it is hot to you?
What makes your dick twitch?
Or your clit throb.
Yeah.
Or your...
I was like trying to think of like what's a proper like analog to that.
Or your buttocks warm or your nipples harden.
Sure.
Or your ears blush. Or your nose run. Oh, wait, no, that's when I have a cold.
That's just living in Texas. Your nose runs.
Yeah.
You're living in Texas just turns me on. Oh, the constant fear of death from tornadoes or rednecks. Oh,
I constantly have this goo dripping from my body. Pre-cum? No, snot. My fucking allergies are going crazy.
Nice. All right. So this next email from Syrian. Con Report Part D. Preface, I have learned my lesson. As a person who doesn't drink that much outside of the occasional bar meetup with friends and at conventions, I tend to overdo it on those sparse occasions. It's not as if I did anything super regrettable at either TFF or MCFC, but it's embarrassing to both myself and the people who happened to be around me late Saturday night at both events. I will be taking it much easier in the future and apologize for my heavy drunkenness on both occasions. With that out of the way, I welcome you all. I come to you all with a dual con report of sorts of both Texas Furry Fiesta and Motor City FurCon. Both events were overall super fun, and should plans allow it, I do plan on attending both in 2018 and staffing the former again if you'll have me. I can always use the help. Furry Fiesta was a bit of a spur-of-a-moment thing. I've attended the last two Nightmare Nights as an indirect result of listening to this podcast for several years along with the itch for something new, and wasn't disappointed. After talking with Shiva at some length at Nightmare Nights 2016, I received a message out of the blue a few months later asking if I was still considering TFF. Some talks, an interview, and one Spirit Airlines ticket later, there I was. Seeing as this was the largest furry convention I had attended to date, let alone staffed, I tended to stick around the vendor hall, my base of operations, and the game room shooting the shit with Saverin. Despite the size, the convention went quite swimmingly, setup was a breeze, and it was overall a pretty laid-back affair. Outside of my hours as super official con staff, TM, I mostly hung about, meeting up with some online friends of mine for the first time, and going to some really cool room parties on both Friday and Saturday night. I didn't spend much money outside of food expenses, which were well worth it, the food trucks were fucking great, and a Pokemon bandana, but I still had an absolute blast. Thank you, Saverin, Panther, whom I'm assured actually exists despite his sightings being only of legend, Shiva, Sarah, and Sam for hosting me and carting my ass to and from the airport. It really means a lot to me. If you ever find yourself in Michigan for some strange reason, you've got at least one connection should you need it. Yeah, it was funny because, like, the entire weekend, because we were getting home so late, Panther was already asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, and we had to get up in the morning and head out for the con. And so, like, there was literally, he was here, like, three nights and never saw Panther at all. It was funny. He's like, he totally exists, I promise, guys.
How's your boyfriend in Canada, Saverin?
Ontario's doing good. No.
Wait, is that his name or where he's supposed to live?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's the joke. It's like, yeah, my girlfriend, Toronto, who lives in Canada. You know, anyways.
Speaking, she really likes maple syrup and poutine. Poutine, yes.
Yeah. Speaking of Michigan, Motor City FurCon 2017 marks my third year attending, and like my previous ride in regard to the convention, it is also a pretty laid-back affair. I spent most of my time hanging around at this one, as well as going to the occasional room party. I learned that, unlike TFF, MCFC doesn't have a dedicated party floor, so finding these parties is a bit of a challenge. It turned out well, though. I had a great time, hung out with some local friends, drank a bit too much again, and learned that there is a stripped version of Cards Against Humanity. I can't tell if I actually won or not. Overall, I had a fantastic time at both conventions, and depending on how long it takes from before the brony fandom explodes, I should be attending more furry cons in the future. I hope to see you all at the next EFF, Zirion. Well, you don't have to wait too long on the bronies thing, just saying. But, yes, come to furry cons. You're a cool dude. It was nice having you, and you were very helpful at the convention.
So we've got an email here titled Sympathy for the Devil. I wanted to send best wishes to Shiva. I hope she's better soon. Smiley face. As for RMFC, and it's a link.
DailyOtter.org.
And it's an otter face palming.
Yes, it's an otter, yes. Like rubbing its muzzle, but it looks like it's doing a little face palm.
Yeah.
The tiny otter is face palming. The website is called DailyOtter.org.
You have disappointed Tiny Otter.
Yep. Well, do you want to read this next long email, or shall I just start on it?
I am late tired.
Okay, so let's get to it. This one's titled, Furthermore Adventure.
Oh, cool.
Greetings, Notcast. JD writing in with a Furthermore 2017 con report. This was the fifth year for Furthermore, and I have attended every year. In addition to the anniversary, this year was exciting for me personally for a couple of reasons, which I'll come back to in a moment. The con was held April 28th to 30th at the Sheridan Hotel in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, with a theme of 8-bit adventure. Armed with a lifetime of experience with the Washington, D.C. area traffic, my mate and I made the commute down to the hotel from Baltimore on Thursday. We arrived in the early afternoon, checked in, and went to dinner while waiting for the early badge pickup to begin at 6. As I have since the con moved to Virginia, I went God level, God mode with the video game theme, to get a hotel room. In addition to that, I received a shirt, a con book. They seemed to be attempting to save on printing costs. There was not a lot of physical con books. They're real expensive to make, dude. A mystery gift that turned out to be an imported building block Pokemon, an Eevee in my case, and not one but two backsacks. But wait, that's not all. To celebrate the con's 5th anniversary, they had made a custom baseball jerseys, complete with name and number. So I walked around all con in my JD number 83 jersey. The con book was actually my first bit of excitement, as it contained my story, Prelude to Adventure. While I'd had stories accepted before this was the first time I had seen my writing in print. Our badges secured, we settled in for the night. Friday was a big day. We started with breakfast before checking out the Dealer's Den and Artist Alley. These were in new locations this year on the second floor. In previous years, they had been right off the hotel lobby. I was curious to learn if that made a difference in traffic. After that, I attended opening ceremonies, which were fun. I don't remember much beyond the concierge being dressed as Mario and Luigi, except for the con game of finding hidden gold coins. I only found one because I sat on it, and that one of the local Thai places was giving free sangrias with your con badge. Nice. Mostly, I was starting to get a little nervous because after opening ceremonies was the thing I'd been most excited about slash dreading. My panel. With the con theme of video game writing, I had decided it'd be a great idea to share what I had learned in 2 decades off and on video game fanfiction writing. Like, he autocorrected on to one.
Oh.
So I was like, wait. Now I am shy and quiet at the best of times, but public speaking is a personal dread of mine. I wrote in a few months back asking for advice on how to give a panel and took your advice of making notes and even a slideshow presentation. Since the rest of the writing panels were arriving later in the day, I was on my own. People actually showed up for the panel, to my mild surprise. I was deliberately not counting, but I think it was in the 10 to 15 range. I did my presentation, took questions, and managed to fill about 40 minutes of my allotted hour. I stumbled a bit, but the audience felt it was a good panel. It wasn't until the room emptied that I started shaking. Well, you survived. Woo-hoo! With my duty of kicking off the writing track discharged, I went to lunch and then began to socialize. My membership in the Furry Writers Guild had provided me with a list of people I wanted to meet, and surprisingly wanted to meet me as well. Unfortunately, a great many of them were dealers or staff or just hadn't arrived yet, so I went to the dealer's den, picked up some books from Rabbit Valley table, manned by two people I wanted to meet, and headed back to my room for some downtime. I attended another writing panel before dinner, which included that free sangria, and met a few more guild members. Then I got onto the Lone Wolf vodka I had brought and went to the 80 writing panels just a tiny bit muzzy. Still, they were fun, and I headed to bed after midnight. Saturday was a day of up and downs, though the ups definitely outnumber the downs. I'll handle the ups first. The morning was fairly relaxed, hanging out, briefly introducing myself to Jail Publications, the other book dealer at the con, and of course buying more books.
I think that's Gold.
Gold. I misread it as G-A-O-L. It's like the weird, like English spelling of jail.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like Gold Print Publications, Jail Publications. They specialize. They're very niche. The other book dealer at the con, and of course buying more books. I went to a panel on writing dialogue, something I consider a personal weak point, followed by a concert by Nice, said as Nice, the singing dog. I had seen Nice once at Furthermore in 2015 in what was probably one of his first live performances. The 2 years have done wonders for him, as I felt he was much improved, looser, louder, and more obviously having fun than I remembered from his last concert.
Cool.
Then it was time for me to take another shot of vodka and put my panelist hat on again and talk about genres with two other writers. Unfortunately... Or fortunately, if you're cursed with anxiety about public speaking, the con had added a last-minute special guest, one Boozy Barrister, now going as Boozy Badger, who was giving his own panel at the same time as the one I was on. I had made peace with this, feeling I might do better with a smaller crowd. Even better, fellow panelist Sasuke had the foresight to bring beer, so the three of us drank and chatted with about 5 people. The audience was most interested in horror, which was bad for me, since it's one of the few areas I haven't had much experience in. I hope they found my nods helpful. And then the fun begins, as Matthew Ebel did his Adventures in Smut panel. The purpose of this panel is to record Matthew and guests attempting to read really, really bad erotica. I had something of personal interest in this, as when he did this panel at TFF, I submitted a story for them to read. I apparently left an impression, as his guest for that panel, Kyle Gold, recognized my name in a chat several days later. This time, Matthew was joined by writer, voice actor, and host of the writing podcast Independent Claws, Sparf. The panel was hilarious as 3 stories were read. The high point for me was when Matthew introduced the final story, the best and greatest story on Yifstar,
by Mogmoogle.
And the 4 of us in the room knew what it was, burst out laughing while the rest of the audience looked on in horror.
I have not read it, but I've heard tale of its horror. It's written on purpose to be terrible.
It was an intentionally bad story.
Yeah.
He's in our fan chat, by the way.
Yep.
Anyways, Sunday was a chill day, full of hanging out and making some final purchases to make sure my new friends at the Rabbit Valley table had less to take home than closing ceremonies. Closing ceremonies were delayed half an hour because the hotel had not set out enough chairs. As I was able to see, this was something of a theme for the con. The hotel dropping the ball on their obligations. Panel rooms were mislabeled. Panel 4 was marked as panel 3. The Nice concert was delayed by about 45 minutes because the room hadn't been reset from the dance contest and the chairs for closing ceremonies. I wasn't immune either as having some issue with the hotel as had an I wasn't immune either, as having some issue with the hotel has been an annual occurrence for me. The first year, they gave my room to someone with the same human name. Last year, there was no Ethernet port in our room, more of a problem for my technophile mate. And this year, I was charged in full for my stay. on Saturday. They now charge the con for the two nights that were included in my registration. A trip to Con Ops was conveniently timed as the hotel manager was in there, and the situation has since been resolved. While these were annoying and, in the last case, rage-inducing, they did not ruin my con experience. Having made friends with a staff, I was cued to look for problems and so may have noticed them a bit more. Perhaps it was just in keeping with the 8-bit adventure theme. With 8-bit games, you have to blow on them sometimes to get them to work. Gotta get those dust off the contacts. The final attendance came in at 10:50, breaking 1,000 for the first time. The con raised $10,002 at the time of closing ceremonies for Frisky's Primate and Wildlife Sanctuary. With post-closing ceremonies donations, the final number had climbed to $10,672.
Cool.
Overall, I had an excellent experience at Furthermore, minus the issue with the hotel. I met a lot of people, hopefully made some new friends, and would consider being a panelist again. After last year, I had been considering giving up on it and going to other cons instead. But after this year, I have planned to attend other cons. I now very much wish to keep going to Furthermore as my home con, so I consider that a good con. Signing off for now, JD, your Rider Fox Dragon fan.
Woot. Yay!
And one last email.
Okay. So the subject line is pleasehelp.jpg. So I'm going to have to do the fifth element thing. Please help. I don't know if you remember the.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Hey there, doggo screaming ears and hopefully Tetris couch. Get better. I'm stuck on a highway in Dallas at 525 on the way to a music festival in Todd Mission, Texas, Middlelands, with a buddy who mutually wants to beat the living cuck out of me due to an argument because of a big old fuck up his. How do I get out without becoming an hero? Aside from that, a concert report in like 4 days, I guess, with mostly platonic love, Mortimer Panda.
So you're on the road with a buddy you've had a fight with on the way, and you're going to be spending time with them for like 4 days. Fug. That's no fun. So odds are you probably have predicated this trip with like, oh, we're splitting a hotel room. And now you totally have to do the fucking
with the sitcom thing of painting a line down the middle of the room.
Painter's tape and separate the room in half. And you have to like get it. You have to like write out a visa. Like you're gonna cross the border to use the bathroom. The Republic of Miastan does not recognize your travel visa. You may not use this. Trespassing this line is an act of war. No, shit, man, that sucks. You're really just going to have to talk it out like adults. I mean, you could have, like, a fist fight and, like, get it out of your system, but that's probably not good, so don't do that. Yeah, like, being stuck in traffic because of a fuck-up or whatever, it's like, that's a real rough situation. And since you're in the vehicle together, I don't know if you're driving with him or he's driving with you, you're reliant upon each other. One of you is reliant on the other to get home. So it is in your best interest to probably try to talk it out because, yeah, Uber's expensive.
Yeah.
And hospital stays are very expensive. And jail time's expensive.
You may just want to ignore each other for a little while until tensions cool down.
Yeah.
And then have a talk.
Yeah, because right now it sounds like you're stuck with each other for the time being. So you're going to have to talk it out like adults because kicking one another out of the car, taking an Uber home, ditching the thing, getting separate hotel rooms. Those are expensive and probably infeasible. Mm-hmm. So you will need to talk it out like adults
and yep.
Ignore each other for a little while things cool down.
Yep.
So that's our mature ass adult response to, you know, how do you not get the shit beat out of you? Ignore each other for a little bit, then talk it out after you've made it to the destination or no longer stuck in traffic. Because I know traffic in Dallas. It can make you want to kill a bitch. Which is why I try not to get stuck in it.
Or just fuck and get it over with.
Yeah, you could hate fuck each other, but odds of that, your friend being up for that are probably low. Like, I'm going to fuck my anger into you. Ah! So, that wraps it up for emails this week. We have gotten no further emails. Gasp. And
that was a good chunk of emails.
Yeah.
It's a thick load of emails.
We appreciate it. So again, You can always email us at notcast@foxdifference.com. Contact us via notcast.com, our Tumblr. That just redirects to our Tumblr. And you can send in on questions that way. We have a theme for next week, if you made it to the end of this episode, or you're listening to the first part of it. We can do our theme, your favorite kink. You don't got to justify it. Just say why you like it. And hopefully we'll get a bunch of folks to write in about that. And then we also have a Patreon. You go to patreon.com/notcast and contribute to us. That makes us happy in the pants. Buck an episode, buck a month. You can set your limits. And hey, like last month, people only got charged like twice because we only did two episodes because life. But we try to do 4 episodes a month, $4 a month. That's a cup of coffee. That's a big ass cold brew coffee from fucking Starbucks.
Or like, you're gonna say something about a cuck there?
No,
that's a cucker. Oh wait, no, cup of coffee.
It's like $4 is a big ass iced cup. Is like 2 big ass iced coffees from Starbucks, or like 3 coffees from like other places that are not Starbucks. Anyways, it's cheap. You should totally support the show because that's cool and we appreciate it. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at Savern Drake. You can find me on YouTube at justfox.com or YouTube Savern Drake. I've got some comic dub stuff and I got some indie game stuff lined up and just like, eh. People don't watch my video game stuff. It sucks. And making an alt channel is a bitch for YouTube. So I'm kind of like, I don't know what I want to do anymore. Anyways, how about you, Fuzz?
I don't have a YouTube.
It's for the best.
Yeah. Probably. You can find me on Twitter at FuzzWolf. If you're interested in my publishing shenanigans, you can find our print company at For Planet on Twitter and ebook companies at Bad Dog Books on Twitter. Links to both sites are in their profiles. And our next convention is Anthrocon, so come and see us there. Oh, you know, I did want to. Doggo! There's pictures of puppers. I did want to mention that there's a new furry con in Texas. It is going to be this coming October. I may have mentioned this before, but some stuff has changed since then. It is the Alamo City Furry Invasion, and they have actually had to move hotels because they got so many pre-regs that they outgrew the space at the hotel that they had. So they're now at what looks to be a quite nice hotel right on the Riverwalk in downtown San Antonio. And I am confirmed that I've already paid for table space in their dealer's room. So Fur Planet will be there. And yeah, it's, you know, Texas is a big state and October is a long way from February, March. Like, so I think it's a big enough state to be able to accommodate two furry cons.
How far away is San Antonio from here?
It's about a 5.5 hour drive.
So for us, direction, so it's 4 hour, 28 minute drive, 291 miles.
Yeah.
So bit of a drive.
You know, for people that are like in the far south parts of Texas to where getting up to Dallas here in North Texas might be a bit of a stretch.
I mean,
this would be easier for them to make.
Drive straight west from Houston, and it's a bit closer than driving to Dallas. They should totally come to Fiesta. But, yeah, it's a big enough state for the two of us, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's also super close to Austin, and since they're already getting a good turnout, that seems like a... turnout to be pretty good.
Like, I know Google is all about giving you 3 fucking routes, mm-hmm. but, like, what fucking moron would take a route that's not 35?
Depending on the construction or number of accidents on 35.
True, but, like, it's 45 minutes longer to take this secondary route that's through the middle of nowhere in Texas, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Nah, dude. I'll worry about some construction north of Austin and some constructions right north of Hillsboro.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things. I looked on Google Maps and it's like, yeah, there's this route that takes you through Fort Worth, 35 west. This one takes you 35 east. And this one takes you off through the middle of fucking nowhere in Texas.
Yeah, it mostly only comes in handy like traveling locally when you're like, oh, there's a backup on 75 taking a toll away, I'll save 6 minutes or something like that.
This is like, you can spend 45 minutes longer and go through rural Texas if you want to go that way for some reason.
Right, yeah.
Like, yeah, you skip all of, like, Hillsboro and Waco and Austin, but you also skip the actual cities where there's, you know, gas and food.
Yeah.
You're stuck with small town. But, you know.
If you want to go to scenic route.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm sure that there's plenty of small towns that have, like, neat fucking courthouses and shit. Because Texas has some nice city courthouses in its rural areas.
Mm-hmm. And they can pull you over because the majority of their income probably comes from traffic tickets.
Yeah, and
steal anything they want in your car.
It's just a little warning. Brown paper bag warning. If you are darker than a round paper bag, don't drive this way.
Wow.
That got real.
Anyways. Jesus.
It's for your own safety, I promise. Mm-hmm. Google's like safety warnings. Like, don't go this way. Drive 35. Go through Austin. Stop at Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah.
Oh, and as a little shout out, Kadath, whose character puzzle I am very fond of, has some booby mouse pads for sale. This is just a unprompted because I like his shit and also that I totally bought one myself.
Mm-hmm.
He made Puzzle and Olivia booby mouse pads, and I totally pre-ordered a puzzle version.
Yeah, you can get them clothed or unclothed.
Savin I got giraffe titties.
All the way.
Yep.
That giraffe titties in his face. Yep. Pretty awesome. It's on the like furry Dakimakura website. Yeah. So not a bad price, you know, for something like
it's super bespoke.
Super custom like that. Okay. And he said he told me there is a nightshade one coming soon.
Nice. Also,
so
if you want your dominatrix jackal or your cum fiend oryx or your big titty thick giraffe. They got you covered.
Yeah.
Also, that way I can finally fucking retire my Wrath of the Lich King mouse pad. That shit's old. It's like, over the years, I've only really used WoW mouse pads. So it's like, it's time for a booby mouse pad. Yeah.
One computer has a cute fox boy butt mouse pad, and the other computer has a Fluttershy butt mouse pad.
Hell yeah.
So.
And what's nice is I used my internet fun bucks that I had in PayPal from like old YouTube monies just been sitting there. And I'm like, man, why do I have money sitting in PayPal for shit like this? Like I had 70.
My time has come.
Yeah. I had like $75 and I'm like, I'm going to buy a commission. I'm going to buy a booby mouse pad. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an adult. I am an adult.
Now, give me those big old draft titties.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to wrap this up because we got back into topic that we're like wrapping this shit up. So right into the show next week, we got a topic, your favorite fetish. Just tell us why it turns your crank. Notcastboxeffers.com. And on that note, good night.
And giraffe titties.
Yeah.